Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to our half-hour English feature program. I'm Susie Hodges. These are the stories coming up on today's program. Pauline Legacy. During his weekly general audience, Pope Benedict looks at the end of St. Paul's earthly life and his ongoing legacy. Credit crunch bites hard. The Catholic Church in England and Wales launches an online spiritual resource to offer help, support and consolation to those affected by economic hardship amid the deepening global financial crisis. Haiti's forgotten plight. 5 months after last September's massive flooding and mudslides, the people of Haiti are still struggling to rebuild their shattered lives as donors end their support. At his weekly general audience today, Pope Benedict concluded his catechesis on the figure of the Apostle St. Paul by looking at the end of his earthly life and his ongoing legacy. Lydia Kane reports.
Cari fratelli e sorelle, comincio con un appello. Continua a destare preoccupazione la situazione nello Sri Lanka.
Pope Benedict made an appeal for Sri Lanka on Wednesday during his weekly general audience, calling on combatants to respect human rights and the freedom of movement of the population caught up in the fighting in the country. The conflict is concentrated in a sliver of coastal land in the north, where an estimated 250,000 Tamil civilians are trapped along with the last of the Tamil Tiger rebels. The rebels have been fighting for 25 years for a separate homeland for the country's minority Tamils. In that time, about 70,000 people have been killed in the fighting. The Pope added that the safety of civilians needs to be guaranteed and assistance be given to those in urgent need of food and medical attention. The Holy Father's appeal coincided with the 61st anniversary of the country's independence, and Catholics in Sri Lanka were invited by the church there to mark February the 4th as a day of prayer for peace in the nation. During his audience, the Pope also concluded his catechesis on the figure of St. Paul, focusing on his life and legacy.
So there's no account of Paul's death in the New Testament. A strong tradition holds that he was martyred in Rome during the reign of Nero and buried along the Via Ostiense on the site of the present Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls. St. Clement of Rome, in a first century letter to the Corinthians, extols Paul's patience in suffering as a model for all Christians to imitate. Paul himself alluded to his agony in sacrificial terms when he wrote, "For I am already being poured out like a libation, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul's writings have inspired countless commentaries through the centuries.
The Pope also went on to say that this apostle provides an example to the Church in its mission of evangelization.
"By listening to his teaching, may we be strengthened in our commitment to Christ, so as to take part joyfully in the Church's mission of evangelization."
Pater noster, qui es in celis, sanctificetur nomen tuum.
In conclusion, Pope Benedict, as always, warmly greeted all the English-speaking visitors in the Paul VI Hall who had made the journey from as far away as Hong Kong and the United States to be at the audience. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
The global financial crisis and accompanying credit crunch is biting harder as more and more people struggle to cope with the economic hardship triggered by this crisis. Almost every day, we hear fresh news of people who are losing their jobs as companies lay off workers, whilst many people are losing their homes because they are unable to keep up their mortgage payments. Then there are those who live in fear of losing their job because of the uncertain economic climate, or are simply struggling to make it through to the end of the month because of rising costs and a static income. In these challenging times, the Catholic Church in England and Wales has launched an online spiritual resource to offer support, consolation, and practical help to those affected by economic hardship or uncertainty. Let's hear an example of what is on offer on this portal.
Peace I leave you, my own peace I give you. A peace which the world cannot give. This is my gift to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid.
As you just heard, the web portal offers visitors an MP3 meditation for download with relaxing music and spiritual reflections. The tailor-made portal also offers visitors a selection of stories from people who have previously lived through difficult times, tips on how to get through, and a place to share burdens and offer thanks. An important part of the resource is the area devoted to prayer, and it encourages people to seek the intercession of the patron saint of financial matters, St. Matthew. The resource is the work of the Catholic Inquiry Office and can be found by going to www.lifeforseekers.co.uk. One of its main creators was Claire Ward of the Inquiry Office, who shared with me some of the portal's offerings.
The main reason that the church initiated this web portal was really in response to a pastoral need. Certainly in England and Wales at the moment, the news is dominated by stories of people losing jobs, of financial difficulty, of uncertainty, people losing their homes and house prices falling. There's a lot of worry, a lot of fear about the future. Of course, the church very much wants to send out the message. It walks alongside people in all the experiences of life, joys and sorrows. So it's with that climate the church felt the time was right. Try and put some resources online to support people.
On this credit crunch resource, it also includes stories from people who have previously lived through difficult times. What are some of the most inspirational or poignant of these stories that you can share with us?
Stories are an extremely powerful tool of evangelization. And they enable people as well not to feel quite so alone. Because when people are suffering, that's often a word that they use. I feel so alone in what I'm carrying. In the stories that we asked some people to very courageously share with us for the benefit and encouragement of others, they cover a number of key themes and a number of key experiences that many people are going through at the moment. There's a story of somebody who loses their job, has 5 or 6 children, unable to pay the mortgage, and he and his wife are very much assisted through the support and generosity of their local Catholic parish and their Catholic friends. And even though they had to downsize their house because of their financial difficulties, they're so loved by their friends and family, it just softened the suffering, really, that they had to endure. And with God's help, they testify that all and right in the end. There's another very moving story of a single mother whose husband dies very young. She's left in extreme financial difficulty with 5 children, a very sick elderly mother to support. And it's a very moving story of how through financial hardship and then through herself having cancer and then bereavement with her mother dying, a whole list of tragedy, how her faith helped her get through this time of uncertainty, worry and anxiety, and how all the stories really have in common that whatever suffering and uncertainty and worry and anxiety you might have in your journey of life, God is there. He is very much with you in your moment of the cross. That's really one of the key messages that we hope to share through this resource. So whatever you're going through at the moment, God is there and the church is there to support you and to walk alongside you.
Now, you talked there about how to get through, and of course you mentioned faith. And I know that the portal includes tips, in fact, on how to get through these difficult moments, this credit crunch crisis. Can you share some of these tips with our listeners?
Yes, a very important part of the message, really, that we wanted to communicate as a church in England and Wales. Yes, the spiritual resources, help of a Catholic community is on everybody's doorstep. But we also wanted, we're an incarnational faith. We're very much, as the Gospels teach us, as Jesus teaches us, to actually practically help people as well, and not just to invite them to say their prayers and to trust. So on the web portal, there are links to a variety of excellent Catholic charities that practically help people in financial and other need. And also we have a pop-up which provides some simple thoughts on some coping skills that people, anywhere they find themselves, could try to help them get through. For example, obviously, top of the list is find, practically speaking, a supportive community. We are obviously trying to signpost people that one of the most wonderful supportive communities is a Catholic parish. But some other things on the list about how to get through are to simply set aside some time, pen and paper, and write down some of your problems and some of the challenges that you face, and then brainstorm, if you like, mirroring back to yourself some of the things that you could do to alleviate your situation, some of the people that you could perhaps go and see to help. Because one of the most difficult things when we're panicking and anxiety is actually to take a step. So we invite people to take a practical step to do the best that they can to alleviate the problems that they might face. And obviously, we don't expect people to do that on their own. I'm posting them to really good Catholic charities and non-Catholic charities that can help people.
I gather there's also a place on the portal where you can share burdens by writing down and inputting your personal problems without revealing your identity. How popular has this proved? Have many people written on this?
This is one of the most moving parts of our website, the Cast Your Burdens area. There are some extremely heart-rending petitions and thoughts and worries that have already been posted on that particular page. Very, very simply, I'm online now and I can read you your anonymous expressions such as, I'm worried about money, I'm confused about the future, I can't see a way forward, how to talk to someone. And there's a whole list of burdens there that have been expressed. And we offer that area with an accompanying prayer, just really to invite people to cast their burdens onto Jesus. Yes, doing it virtually online as a first step. But ultimately, then you give this to Jesus, and when you've expressed your burden, which you'll see on the screen, just try saying the prayer and just rest for a moment in that moment of prayer with God. I would recommend that listeners have a look at that burdens page, because if you are listening and you're struggling and you're not sure where to go, I think in particular you'll find that burdens area great help and support.
Now, you talked there about prayers, and I know that an important part of the resource is the area devoted to prayers. And I was particularly struck by one called the Footprints Prayer, which talks about a man who had a dream about footsteps walking along the beach. Can you tell us something about this particular prayer and indeed the others as well?
Certainly. As well as the practical resources that we're offering and trying to signpost people to, yes, prayer is a big part of the Catholic faith. And it's a big part, the church teaches, of getting through many of life's crosses and sorrows, praying to God that he will carry us through and help us. And one of the most beautiful prayers on our prayer page, part of the web portal, is, as you rightly say, the Footprints Prayer. Many of your listeners may have already come across it. In a nutshell, it's the story of a man who has a dream, and he notices that he's walking on a beach. And in different parts of his life, sometimes he sees two sets of footprints, And sometimes he only sees one set of footprints. And so in the dream, he asks the Lord, why, and especially in the most difficult parts of my life, why am I only seeing one set of footprints? Where are you? Of course, that's a beautiful response in this reflective prayer, which is, of course, the Lord replies, when you only saw one set of footprints, I was carrying you. And that's such a pertinent and beautiful message. The Lord can carry us through our most difficult times. And it's a reflection and a prayer that was written by Margaret Fishback Powers in the 1960s. And it has a very much an enduring appeal to many people of many different faiths.
And what kind of feedback have you had so far from people since the portal was launched, or indeed as you were launching it? What were people saying about it?
Well, it's early days, only recently been launched. So apart from looking at the Cast Your Burdens area and the Thanksgivings area that we've got, just anecdotally, people have been telling us how pleased they are with it and how much they're enjoying the material that's on there. We've also had some coverage in some of the non-Catholic and non-Catholic newspapers in England and Wales. And I think at this stage, news is just getting out there that this is available. So we're very much hoping that as more and more people see it, the more feedback we will get so that we can tailor really what we're offering as a church to the needs of people, signposting them to exactly what they need at this most difficult time for so many.
And how do you balance what is practical advice and what is more spiritual advice?
The page was put together extremely sensitively, because certainly as a church, if in a time of great practical need, we're just saying to people, you know, get on your knees and pray, and certainly that's an important part of the story, the Catholic story, but only half of it. You know, Jesus turned water into wine. Jesus healed people. He changed their practical circumstances. And so we're extremely sensitive with this resource. Yes, say pray, find strength from the Lord and from prayer, but also practically go here, 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 and here if you need immediate help. I think it's very important that we have both of those as a church side by side, because that's certainly the model that Jesus gave us. Pray, prayer and action. And that's a model that's used by so many wonderful Catholic social action groups around the world. We wanted to echo that and reflect that as a truly Catholic resource.
I was talking to Claire Ward of the Catholic Inquiry Office. Was Haiti last in the news? Many of us would be hard-pressed to remember that it was last September. That's when this desperately poor nation in the Caribbean was hit by a series of tropical storms, causing massive flooding and mudslides. The heavy loss of life and devastation caused by this disaster ensured that for a couple of weeks at least, Haiti was hitting the international headlines. But 5 months later, the nation's plight has long since been forgotten, after the attention of the world's media moved on to the next emergency and other trouble spots. Many NGOs are now wrapping up their emergency program in Haiti. Not because there is no further need to continue rehabilitation work, but because funding from donors has dried up. Bill Canny is the country representative for Catholic Relief Services in Haiti, and he spoke to me about the nation's ongoing humanitarian plight. He says continuing rehabilitation work is vital to ensure Haitians can rebuild their shattered lives and help them prevent such dire consequences from future disasters.
Well, it's very fair to say that we're still recovering in Haiti. Now, previous to the floods, as you know, we suffered acutely from the global food crisis and the increase in oil prices. And Haiti was actually reeling from that when it got hit by these four tropical storms and hurricanes. And it's fair to say that we're still quite devastated and recovering. People are just now starting to plant their crops in February. We're starting to get seeds out to farmers. Some projects are trying to replenish herds that farmers have. But it's fair to say that the country is still quite in a recovery mode.
And when it comes to housing, of course, a lot of houses were engulfed in mud. What's the situation there?
You speak specifically of Gonaive, where a huge mudslide came down the deforested hills and essentially settled in Gonaive, rising to 7 and 8 feet high, the waters, and the mud 5 and 6 feet high. Many houses were destroyed. I was actually in Gonaive a couple of days ago. There's a huge lake on the edge of town still, and I saw many houses that were still partially underwater. So the recovery and the housing situation in Gonaive remains quite critical.
You mentioned there the deforestation at the top of the mountains, and this is known to be one of the main causes of these frequent mudslides, with Haiti being one of the most heavily deforested areas in the Western Hemisphere. Is anything being done to tackle this problem at the roots?
Well, there is a movement, I believe, in Haiti among government officials, environmental groups, associations of farmers, organizations like ourselves, Caritas, Catholic Relief Services. There is a movement to try and reforest and replant the hillsides. There's only approximately 1.5 or 2% of the hillsides that are actually have green on them. And our goal is by 2012 to get that up to 5%. It's a struggle. It's difficult. But I am seeing a bit of a movement, an environmental movement in Haiti at this time.
Because unless that happens, I mean, there's going to be new mudslides, isn't there, every time there's a prolonged spell of heavy rain?
Well, we have chronic mudslides there related to this. This one in Gonaive was quite exceptional this year. But it's critical that we all begin to work more up in the mountains in Haiti. We forget, all of us, that the country is approximately 80% mountainous, and organizations like ours have to develop a better view and a better mentality toward working in uplands.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the people whose homes, crops, and livestock were destroyed by the floods or mudslides. How are they coping? What's their morale like?
You know, the Haitians, you know, have a wonderful human character of survival and of looking at life in an optimistic way. So, you know, that has helped them. Many of them are people of faith. So that helps them get through these matters. They do, you know, have a capacity to deal with these very difficult situations. But we have to be careful about certain groups in Haiti, particularly the children who didn't get to school in September because the schools were closed and under mud and water. We have to be careful about malnourished infants who aren't getting the benefits of the crops this year. It's very important that while we recognize the resilience of the Haitian people, that we focus on some of the vulnerable people in Haiti at this time.
Let's talk now specifically about the food situation. As you mentioned earlier, Haiti was one of the countries hit by riots when food prices rose dramatically in the first half of 2008. Has the situation stabilized now, or are there still many people not getting enough to eat because they're simply too poor to feed themselves adequately?
Well, Haiti suffers from chronic undernutrition. You know, at one point I was in a meeting and I said, and this was primarily Haitians in the room, that Haitians only get two good meals a day. And there was an immediate reaction, and people raised their hands and said, "Bill, you don't understand. We get one good meal a day. Haitians are chronically undernourished, perhaps 20 or 25% under the normal minimum caloric intake. So the food crisis really hurt that aspect of the Haitian nutritional makeup, and the prices have gone down somewhat, but they certainly have not returned to where they were last year."
Now, as I said earlier, Haiti is certainly not hitting the international news headlines at the moment. And presumably, it must be much more difficult for organizations like Caritas and Catholic Relief Services to get funding for long-term development projects rather than, at, say, at the height of an emergency, when, of course, the scenes of devastation often prompt a generous outpouring of aid, but which then dries up, right?
This is one of the problems of our international response mechanism. Actually, there's a gap between that short-term emergency and long-term development. And that gap is right now. These are the months right after an emergency, when you want to help people replant, when you want to help farmers replenish their herds, when you want to rebuild schools for children. This is the time, shortly after an emergency, when agencies like Caritas actually suffer the most from lack of funding.
And you are suffering badly at the moment from lack of funding?
Many of the organizations working in Gonaive at the end of the month of February into March are actually planning on leaving Gonaive because they are running out of funds. Catholic Relief Services itself is likely to pull back from Gonaive specifically in March. However, we do have in Gonaive the local Caritas, a very dynamic organization. They will be there, they will stay, and they will continue to find ways to support the families in Gonaive who are still without shelter, the children who are still unable to get into their schools, and farmers in the hillsides who need help replanting and redeveloping their irrigation system.
So how do the people in Haiti feel about their nation's future, and what does it look like in your view as well, for that matter?
I have to be honest and say that there is a degree of pessimism, I think, in Haiti these days. It's a very difficult period. Fortunately, for many Haitians, it's carnival time, and they do find a certain relief at this time of the year.
I was talking to Bill Canny of Catholic Relief Services in Haiti. That's all from the English program for today, but we'll be back on the air at the same time tomorrow. And you can always find our programs on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. Laudato Jesus Christus.